Hello there. Welcome to Random. I'm Kevin.
I'm Lyle.
And tonight we're going to be geeking out, but first I want to tell you to make sure you check out our other shows. Of course, the Fantasy Football Guys.
Right.
Which this show is streaming on, the Fantasy Football Guys
on our feed. It'll be the last time, though.
So if you're listening to the show and digging it, this will be the last time you're going to catch it on the Fantasy Football Guys feed. So please search for Yes Random on SoundCloud or search for Random on iTunes and you'll see the word Random. Subscribe, leave a review, that sort of thing. Because, you know, if you're listening to this on the Fantasy Football Guys stream, you're not going to catch it anymore.
Right.
You have to go to where Random is actually going to live.
Where it be at.
As we try to build the audience there.
Right.
So that, you know, it's its own
show. Plus, I don't want to blog. If any people don't like it, I don't want to keep throwing at them at the, in the Fantasy Football Guys feed. That's going to be for football.
And that'll be coming soon.
Yeah.
Because here we are coming up on the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Very excited
about that.
But anyway,
this is not about that.
Right. So we also have a couple other shows you should check out. If you're into fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Baseball Guys. Check out the Fantasy Hockey Guys. They're going into playoffs now, but there's still a lot of fantasy hockey to talk about. And Tim and Steve do a really good job of talking about and letting you know what's up with fantasy hockey. Coming soon is going to be Tour Bus Confidential with Kyle Conkeel, and that's going to be pretty special. We've heard a couple of
shows.
We
actually have a couple of those episodes.
And yeah, it's
ready
awesome.
To fire. It's very good.
If you're a fan of metal, or just good conversation.
Like unique people, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. So check that out.
Anyway.
And that's coming soon to a,
right.
to a feed near you. So we mentioned we're going to geek out tonight, and I don't know if you know this or not, but Lyle and I are tremendous geeks. I didn't think I was when I was younger, but as it turns out,
dweeb.
Yeah.
Star Wars fan. I kind of knew I was. I put up a good front. Well, see, but a Star Wars fan, though, like that might be considered geeky nowadays. I don't even know if it is, but
it's mainstream.
It might have been geeky for you too, but as I grew up, it was just normal.
Well, when it came out in 77, I was 14.
Right. See, I was one.
So it was just, you know, it was a movie you went to see, but then as it started to...
I don't know a kid on my block, like...
Who didn't have Luke Skywalker sheets.
It's just everybody did. I mean, even the girls I grew up with all had Star Wars toys. It was Star Wars shirts. We watched Star Wars. Like, it just was normal.
Right, but... You know, Star Wars, and you started getting into Star Trek, which I did when I was younger.
Oh, Next Generation came out when I was about 14.
Right. And, so, you know, you start talking about that, you start talking about big-time geeking. I never went to a convention.
No, me
But
either.
You know what? I would.
I would, too.
Yeah. That's where the geek comes in. So, what we're going to talk about today is something that's near and dear to Lyle's and my heart. I'm sitting 15 feet from... a small graphic novel collection.
Yeah.
Most of my comic books have been lost to the sands of time.
Dem comics.
Yeah, but...
And dem graphic novels.
It's something I really want to do more of. Dude, The Watchmen, my Watchmen book is upstairs in a place of reverence.
Right.
And, you know, the Before Watchmen series is up there as well. And it's just like...
I haven't read that yet. Is it pretty good?
What, the Before Watchmen series?
Yeah.
I have half of them, maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know...
I have a bunch of them, too. I just haven't cracked them yet.
Yeah, it's good.
I have so many. And I'm seriously considering signing up for the Marvel Unlimited plan.
Yeah.
Where you just pay a monthly... It's like Netflix, and you get every comic.
You know...
All digital. Right, but
well, dude, I've got the apps on my iPad.
I mean, do too. Comicology and stuff. Yeah. I read a bunch of stuff, but
dude, the great thing was when I went to Deadpool, I got a free comic. I know it was I went to Batman Superman. It's like free download comic download. I was like, yeah.
I still haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I'm scared, man.
Really? You'll like it. So we're talking about graphic novels and comics before that, and basically, you know, superheroes, antiheroes.
Influences on culture, influences on us, basically anything. It's random. I mean, we're just going to talk about whatever the hell we want.
We're going to go off on tangents. And of course, the great movies that have been made and some of the ones that were like, eh. And you know, if you're not a follower of the genre, and you know, I don't purport to be a huge follower of it, but I like movies and I like comics, so those two are going to go together.
Right.
You may not even know some of the movies that you look back on and go, hey, I really like that movie. Started out life as either a comic or a graphic novel.
Well, I mean, dude, there's a ton of them that I bet you wouldn't be aware of. I mean, the big ones, obviously, people know.
The Marvels and
Spider-Man
the DCs.
And right, all that kind of stuff. Even some of the fringe ones, like Hellboy or something like that, people would know came out of the comic universe. But
a lot of people don't know Men in Black was a comic
Men in Black
start with.
Was a comic book to start out with. And 30 Days of Night, which is a crazy horror movie. Was a graphic novel. You know, there have been just really tuned. The V for Vendetta. People don't know that. And my daughter, my youngest daughter, is named Evie after the main character in V for Vendetta. Not the movie, the graphic novel.
Right. But the movie was kind of...
No, the movie was great. I loved it, man.
It was really good.
Yeah.
But I think they could have done more.
Right. I don't disagree. Big Hero 6 is a comic book.
Mm-hmm. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Blade. People aren't aware.
Blade was a great comic.
Blade was is a comic book. So, I mean, there have been... And this has been going on for a really, really, really long time. It's just kind of burst on the scene lately because they've been super profitable. They haven't been in the past because they really didn't have the technology. I mean, when I was growing up, Superman was the big comic book movie, right? I mean, and, you know, Christopher Reeve, it was amazing, right? You see him flying around the earth and stuff.
Yeah, and you look at that now, you're like, this is ass.
There's some nostalgia in my heart.
There is.
For those movies. And, you know, of course, his whole tragic life after that. But really, other than that, when I was a kid, there was pretty much just like the Batman
Adam West
TV specials or the old Batman show.
Dude, I used to watch, I'd come home from school and watch it on TV.
Oh, dude, I used to watch it and it was reruns, but I used to watch the hell out of it. And the animated stuff, there was a lot of animated stuff, particularly DC, when I was sort of a teenager and stuff. And I don't know if you know this or not, but, and you may not, Kevin, because you're not a big animated fan. But Marvel crushes DC in the movie world, right?
It does, yeah.
But DC rules the animated universe. Like, all these cartoons and stuff, and they've been doing it for a really long time. But they have a movie library that is pretty comprehensive. And not only that, dude, it's fucking great.
Yeah, I've watched some of the DCs on Netflix. Stuff.
I mean, it really started with Batman the Animated Series back in the day,
right?
Which was a fantastic cartoon. Which a lot of people don't know. That's where Mr. Freeze got introduced. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't part of the Batman universe, and there was an episode, I'll never forget it. I think it's somewhere in the first season. I can't remember which one it was, but where they introduced Mr. Freeze. The episode's name is called The Heart of Ice. I've watched it a million times. Like, it made me cry as a young teenager because...
All emotional.
Because it
hormones raging.
It introduced this character, right? When you had Joker or Riddler or Two-Face, they were just assholes. Right, they were just bad people. Some of them were motivated by
insane
money.
And,
others
know.
Were crazy. Some wanted chaos. But Freeze was a bad guy for a good reason.
He wanted to save his
wife. He loved his wife. And I'm getting chills talking about it. It's so weird. Written by the great Paul Dini, by the way.
Don't think of Arnold Schwarzenegger when you think of Mr. Freeze. That was awfully done.
No, you should. I mean, everybody who's a fan of Batman should at least watch that one episode. Paul Dini is a fantastic writer, and he's written a ton of stuff, by the way. But, you know, his involvement in this particular, I mean, he was involved in the entire series, but his involvement in that episode in particular was just, I mean, he knew how to bring that out in a character of, you know, first of all, they had 20 minutes to do an origin story, fight Batman, right, and do this complex character development, and they nailed it. And they did that over and over again. So if you fast forward to now and look back at the... By the way, I have all of those.
Right.
I have every single one of them. And I watch them from time to time.
Do I have access to them?
You do.
Excellent.
And they're just fantastic, man. Of course, a lot of people don't know as well, Mark Hamill voiced the Joker in that series. And does, you know, Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, and does a lot of voice stuff. You know, he continues to do the Joker on occasion. But it's just a fantastically produced and written show. But if you like fast forward to now and look at their catalog of movies and all of their major graphic novels or major story arcs pretty much have been done or are in production right now. And they're doing some original stuff too. But like if you look at Frank Miller's iconic work, right?
Great stuff.
Dark Knight Returns. I don't know if you guys have read that or even heard of it.
There's actually a trilogy.
It is a trilogy.
Bound together, leather bound. It's fantastic. I have it around here somewhere.
I read it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I read your copy of it because I hadn't read it in years and you let me borrow it.
You might still have it.
No, I don't have it anymore. I gave it back to you. You made sure I gave it back to you.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But it's just a... It's... In my mind, it's probably number two graphic novel written of all time. The Dark Knight Returns. The entire series is good. But The Dark Knight Returns is the best Batman story ever written. And for those of you who don't know... no spoilers here because it was written when 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what I mean? But he fights Superman. It's Batman versus Superman. Now, they probably didn't take an adaptation from that book in the movie. I don't know if they did or not. I hope they borrowed some of the good parts.
Well, you know, I think there was some conceptual elements taken. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they should have just took that book and made it into a movie and then it would have been stellar. But DC did do that, animate it. You have access to those as well, Kevin.
All right.
They did a two-part, The Dark Knight Returns. It's actually two movies, and they're 3 hours long, or hour and a half each.
Right.
Right. Fantastic stuff. Batman Year One, another great book. They did that, animated. Fantastic. They're doing Killing Joke now. It's in production right now. One of the as an animated movie. You know, so there's this massive amount of animated stuff that just crushes everything that Marvel does. They cannot compete in the animated realm. Did you watch Flashpoint Paradox?
No.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for you, but I really want to talk about it. but basically, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's such an amazing twist on the Batman universe,
right,
that it'll blow your mind. And there's a scene in it, and I don't care if I spoil you here, there's a scene in it where a bullet goes through a dude's head and it happens almost in slow motion and you follow it through. Crazy detail, man. This is an animated thing, right? I'm like, whoa, like somebody just got their head smoked, right? They are just so far beyond anything that Marvel does. It's pretty amazing that they continually shit the bed in the live action department.
Well, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with the characters themselves. I mean, you've got Superman, who traditionally has had a hard time holding up. I don't know if it's the writing. I don't know if it's the actors that they've gotten. But Superman has been rebooted now three times. Well, booted and then rebooted twice.
More than that, yeah.
Right. So,
really,
you know, when you come to, you know, modern era movies,
mm-hmm.
And you know, Brendan Routh, you know, I mean, Henry Cavill, you know, I saw a picture of Christopher Reeve the other day as Superman. I'm like, dude, Superman.
Right.
He looks like he looks like Superman. The square jaw, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Cavill is all right. But
I like him. Here's why I like him.
He's stoic.
He's the first ripped Superman, too. Like, he's Wolverine jacked.
Right.
Right. Big hairy chest, man's man. You know, looking
dude. You like the hairy chest on the dude? Oh,
I love it, man. Do you? Love it. But I think that a lot of the other Supermen, Reeve included, not saying he wasn't in good shape, but he was kind of thin, kind of didn't necessarily look Hugh Jackman Wolverine jacked, like, you know, probably on steroids or some kind of PD. You know what I mean?
Wait, are you making an accusation there? That Hugh Jackman roided up for
100%. I'm 100% saying that he used performance enhancing substances to get jacked. Absolutely. You're going to tell me that dude didn't at least take testosterone? Come on. Get out of here.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there's no testing for that in movies.
No, and dude, it makes sense. Not only that, I mean, dude, if hit me in my mid-40s, dude, I might take it too. Like, I mean, there's all these health benefits, but that's a different show, right? But if you're getting jacked for a movie, yeah, of course you're going to do that stuff. And it wouldn't surprise me if Henry Cavill, was on it too. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But anyway, he's super jacked. Like you watch him in the first movie. He's got his shirt off and he's holding up that, you know, big crane thing that was falling. He's like, rah. Like you're like, wow, dude, Superman's jacked, man. You know,
right.
So that's kind of what I liked about him. Decent enough actor. Doesn't really pull off Clark Kent like I'd like.
Right.
You know, that's what I loved
about...
That
was great. Christopher Reeves was a great Clark Kent.
That was Reeves, the whole thing, man. He was amazing at Clark Kent. Bumbling, a little bit of an idiot, kind of clumsy, you know, but we were all in on the joke.
Yeah, right.
You know, we all knew, you know, and that's what was so great about those movies is that for the first time, really, they didn't really break the fourth wall, but they're kind of winking at you, going, you guys know. You guys know what's up. But all these people are fooled by that glasses.
You ever see the Superman TV show?
Oh, yeah.
Where Clark Kent was kind of a suave character himself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and his disguise was a hat and a pair of glasses.
Right.
You know, because Superman's hair was short then. You couldn't part it on the side. It was, you know, basically a crew cut.
Crew cut.
So it was the hat and the glasses and the briefcase that did it.
Yeah, but he had a dad bod.
He did. Well, yeah, he did.
He's in tights with a dad bod.
Yeah, he was past a dad bod.
Yeah, his big gut dude, and saggy belly.
You look at Adam West as Batman. Yeah. You look back and you're like, dude, I have bigger muscles than that guy
has. I know. He's amazing, too, by the way. He's in a bunch of stuff now. He plays Catman in Fairly Odd Parents. And it's pretty funny because he's got the same voice, and he's like, "We go get some justice and all this stuff."
Well, you know, you're talking about him, and you know, I love both Kick-Ass movies. I love the first one better than, and it was also from a graphic novel,
it was.
Of course.
Yep.
The Nicolas Cage character in there was very Adam West Batman. It was kind of funny to see somebody kind of dressed as a pseudo Batman whipping out a gun and just shooting dudes.
Hit Girl, who in the comic books was a popular character for sure, but she was so amazing in the movies.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, oh my God. Like, who is this? I don't know if I've watched the first scene where Hit Girl's introduced so many times, because what I love about it, she's rolling around killing people, right? And Kick-Ass is standing there really confused about what's happening.
Right.
Because he was about to get his ass kicked. And then somebody rolls in with a staff with swords on each end and just starts cutting people up. And what I love about it is she keeps looking at him and smiling. Right. And she's like, hey, you know, and then she goes on and stabs people, cuts a dude's leg off. And
she's like, you know, a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
You know?
And Kick-Ass, even at one point, like, steps back and is like, what the fuck? Like, he's so confused about what's happening. It's such an amazing scene. But that was sort of the first. I mean, there have been others. So let's not. Judge Dredd, probably one of them.
Right.
But that was sort of the first R-rated superhero movie with that kind of graphic
content. Blade
was
R, wasn't it? The first Blade?
I don't think Blade was R. I can effort that. But I know that one of the Dredd, not the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd,
right.
And the other one was R-rated. But I don't know. But Blade was R. You're right. Huh. Funny enough, I would not have thought that. But anyway, these are movies, particularly when it comes to superhero type movies, they want to get as large of an audience as they possibly can.
Right.
With horror flicks, they can get away with it because they have that genre locked down. They know who's going to come to the movies and who's not going to. Right. But with these other types of movies, they're really trying to hit a broad spectrum.
Right. They're trying to get 10-year-olds to 80-year-olds.
Right. They're trying to get everybody to go see these movies. So that's why they don't want to throw a hard R. And that's why Deadpool was such a revolutionary thing. It's not that it's the first, but it was by far the fucking best.
Well, you know, that I think it took, 10 years to get the damn thing made?
Pretty much, yeah.
You know,
Reynolds had been trying to get it made for a really
long
time.
Rumors would come out, and you'd be like, oh, man, Deadpool. And, you know, I really hope
they
fuck it up.
I don't know if you've seen
Wolverine.
Any of the interviews, but Reynolds basically said, we got enough money together to do the test footage. And there was only 4 people in the entire world who had access to that test footage. And it got leaked onto the internet.
Quote unquote leaked.
Yeah, quote unquote leaked. And it got leaked onto the internet. And, you know, a few months later, because Warner Brothers got so much heat from the public, they had to make the movie. Now, they only gave them $50 million, right? And they said, go make this movie. You know, do whatever you want. Do the hard R. Do what, you know, just go make it. We'll give you $50 million. And I don't know where it's at now, but it was close to $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
Gross worldwide, last time I looked. I'm going to check Box Office Mojo. But, you know, so the thing about that is, now they've had them in the past, and Kick-Ass was a success as well.
Yeah, but not on that scale.
Not like that. And the other thing was, the marketing was so brilliant for that movie. You know, they had Deadpool the Love Story billboards.
Right.
They had the little skull and then the poop emoji and then an L. You know, Deadpool.
Right.
They did a bunch of campaigns in different languages. I don't know if you saw those.
I don't know.
They were amazing. Deadpool did a thing for, like, testicular cancer awareness, where he was talking about touch yourself tonight, and he describes totally how to do that. And then he did another one for breast cancer, like showing that, you know, Deadpool gives a fuck about your balls,
right?
You
right,
know,
yeah.
You know, amazing stuff. So it was sort of, it's almost like Barack Obama becoming president because of the internet.
Right. Right.
This was a movie that the internet made, that they marketed on the internet. And yeah, it's at 757 million worldwide.
Yeah.
And they haven't even talked, you're not talking DVDs and rentals and, you know, all that other stuff that's going to come in eventually. So to spend $50 million, and make back $1 billion, right? That's a
basically
fucking massive profit margin.
Yeah, and you know, Lyle and I were talking about this when it opened huge and continued to build. You know, we were excited for it because there are a lot of comic book stories and hero stories and anti-hero stories which haven't been told properly in movies because they you know, of that R rating.
Right.
And we were both like really excited for The Punisher.
The Punisher.
Because The Punisher has always been tame.
Well, now.
But the thing is, well, now The Punisher's in Daredevil.
See,
on
the
Netflix.
Thing is, this is where we need to branch into what's happening on TV and Netflix and all this kind of stuff, because they are fucking nailing it. I mean, left and right. I don't know if you saw Jessica Jones.
Oh yeah,
amazing,
beautiful,
really fucking good.
It started a little slow,
dude,
and it took
so
me a couple episodes
good.
To get into it. But
and
dude,
that's a really dark story.
It is.
It's a really, because I don't know.
It's not the kind of story you want to binge. Because it's not happy-go... I mean, Daredevil's not happy-go-lucky. And none of these are, really, because there's bad guys and there's killing and that sort of thing. But Jessica Jones is dark.
It's
really dark.
It's a... it's sort of one of the darkest stories I think I've ever actually read. The Purple Man, who is known as Kilgrave in the TV yeah. show... In the comic books.
Great David Tennant role.
Beautiful, man. Former doctor, by the way, Kevin. I don't know if you're aware.
I am. Isn't dude.
I'm just kidding, dude. I know you're a Whovian. I'm well aware. Wow.
David Tennant as the doctor, as the
but
lock
in,
screen on
in
my
the,
phone.
In the books, it's pretty much implied that he was just raping everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had total control over people. So it's a super dark story. And it's this woman who's really powerful, but this person had ultimate control over her. And so it's got all these underpinnings, and it's a really dark tale. But a lot of these stories are, and they have to be told that way.
Before you jump off of Jessica Jones, metaphorically, of course.
I mean...
There was one scene in Jessica Jones, and if you haven't seen it, you know, stop listening for 15 seconds, but Tennant starts talking, as the character starts talking about how awful it is to have his quote unquote talent.
Right.
Because he's, you know, it's like, I have to watch everything I say. I told a guy to go fuck himself once. How do you think that turned out?
Right.
You know, so it kind of gave you a glimpse into, you know, his angst as well.
He's still a scumbag.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he could have done a lot of good with that power. But.
And I think, you know, she started trying to lead him in that direction as far as he knew.
But I'm curious. And it makes me think about this shit, and this is why I'm a total fucking dweeb. I'm curious how good, quote-unquote good, I would be with that power. Because, I mean, that's just so easy to, like, become corrupted.
Well,
to the power to suggest to anyone anything and pretty much get anything you want, I don't know how you don't abuse that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, you'd like to think, well, you know, maybe after a while of you know, getting anything I wanted, I would become altruistic and try to use it for good.
I'd like to think I would.
I think that's a slippery slope down
toward
hell.
I'd like to
think
I would. Yeah.
I don't think you would. You know why? Because you're human, and so am I. And I could say, well,
it
you know
also
what?
Would make
I'd
life...
love to be able to make have people, you know, go on TV and say, stop having wars and have it happen. But
I think it would also make life incredibly boring. You know, there's an old episode of The Twilight Zone. I think it was Twilight Zone. It might have been Outer Limits, but I think it was Twilight Zone. That really fucked me up. And it was this dude who robbed a bank, and he got shot, and he woke up in a hotel, you know, and a person came in and was like, hey, what's up? You know, and he was like, man, I think I got shot. And dude was like, don't worry about it. We got full accommodations here. You have anything you want. There's women, there's wine, there's all this stuff. So he's walking around the hotel, and he goes and he plays poker and craps, and he can't lose. He comes back to his hotel and opens up drawers, and they're full of money. Any girl he wants comes in. And So he calls the concierge, and he's like, I don't know what's happening here. Like, this is kind of weird. And he goes, I think I'm going to go rob a bank. And the guy goes, okay, yeah. I mean, he's like, that's what I do. I'm a bank robber. I'm going to go rob this bank. And he goes and he robs the bank, and he comes back, and he's like, you know, am I going to get caught? And the concierge goes, do you want to get caught? And he's like, well, what is this place? Is it heaven? And the dude goes, oh, no, this is that other place. Hell for that guy was no challenge. There are no more mountains to climb.
Right.
Everything is possible, anything you want, and all of a sudden life loses all of its flavor.
Right.
You know?
Right, because there's no, I mean, the thrill is in the chase.
Right.
The thrill
of gambling is the fact that you can lose or win. Like, that's right. The whole point.
Right.
So
if it's predetermined based on your choice.
If everything is predictable, man, life would become really boring. So I think that brought a little bit of that back.
After
that
a while, me. I'd have a couple great-ass weekends.
Yeah, there'd be some good times to be had, for sure.
I'm thinking Megan Fox needs to stop by.
Right, yeah, there'd be some good
times.
She
should bring, you know, 1980s Gillian Anderson with her.
Right. But at the same time, you know, I think it would get boring after a while. And just even that, like, you're talking, that's rape. Right,
yeah,
and
it
you're
is.
Just you're just like so it gets real fucking dark fast.
Well, the thing is,
so you have
know,
to be very careful.
If that dude in that situation was in hell, yeah. And he said, "I want Megan Fox," would Megan Fox then have to die to show up there?
Probably not. I think it was just carbon copies of everything.
Right. So is that rape? Because it's not a real person.
I think we're talking logistics here.
Yeah,
and you know,
it's still ethically questionable.
I mean, if it's at best. Yeah, if it's a fantasy scenario, probably not.
Right.
But if you're the Purple Man, a.k.a. Kilgrave in the TV series, you're definitely, I mean, he raped a lot of people. That's what he did.
Right.
And not only that, he caused people to kill themselves and there's a lot
kill
of
others.
A lot of other horrible shit, too. Yeah. So just really, really dark story. But anyway, we got off on that tangent because of Netflix. But, dude, Daredevil season one was amazing. Season two, spoiler alert, it's been out for a while, bitches. The Punisher is introduced. And it's fucking incredible.
I'm going to say...
And the Punisher is Shane from The Walking Dead, by the way.
Yeah, it's John something.
Whatever.
Barenthal or...
Shane from Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's Shane from Walking Dead. Which we'll talk about here in a minute, too, because that's from a series of comics. So, the thing about Daredevil is what made season one amazing for me was Kingpin.
D'Onofrio has been great in everything he's ever done. Fucking, dude. Full Metal Jacket, man.
Yeah.
Get the fuck off of my obstacle, Private Pile. Dude, he was Pile. You know what I mean? There's a movie with, what's that lady's name? Used to be J-Lo. Called The Cell. Fucking shitty movie.
Terrible movie.
D'Onofrio plays a serial killer in it. He is amazing.
He was actually played a detective, like a, you know, a savant detective, like one of the Law and Order shows,
yeah.
I think. He was great.
He's awesome.
I watch it just for him. The rest of the show is questionable at best,
and
but
he
was great.
So amazing as Kingpin. He's so, nothing to take away from, you know, let's just put it out there. The Ben Affleck Daredevil movie was a giant pile of dog shit.
Even Jennifer Garner, as much as I appreciate her work, her body of work, if you will,
I hear you.
Yeah, the movie was ass.
You know, I don't want to take anything away from Michael Clarke Duncan as Kingpin because I thought he did totally fine.
Right.
It bums me out that dude died because he was so good in The Green Mile. Also based on a book, by the way.
Stephen King book.
Not a graphic novel, but...
Actually, it was a
short series.
Stephen
short
King story. did a serial where he put a
like
piece of the thing
of them,
out a month.
Think,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Five or six.
Yeah,
and
little,
that was
little books.
And of course, being a King fan, I went out and bought every one of
them.
They're around here
great,
somewhere
great
as well.
Great story, great movie. But anyway, you know, he played Kingpin in the original movie. And Colin... what's his name? Colin Farrell? Yeah. Was... Deadshot in that,
yeah,
you know, it's okay.
That movie very forgettable. In fact, I don't think I've seen it more than twice.
I watched it a lot because I had little kids who, I had little girls specifically who liked. He was Bullseye. That's who it was. He was Elektra, female.
Right. Strong female.
Yeah, they were just all over it. And then an Elektra movie spun off from that, which was total dog shit as well. But this new reimagining of Daredevil, what's funny is season one was all about Daredevil and the Kingpin. It was fucking incredible.
D'Onofrio is he's his so quiet,
good.
You know.
He's so good.
You know, he wants to make the city better, but, you know, he's just quiet, elegant menace. You know, it's really hard to describe. When he's in the room, you know he's a tick away from violence.
Yeah.
But he comes off as very cultured.
And he's also got a rational thing to his behaviors. And
he's thinking that the ends justify the means.
Right.
Which he's wrong about.
No, but again, it's another complex character.
Yeah.
Where you almost... I'm not saying you root for the bad guy, but you get where he's coming from. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're creating
in his case,
these
characters. You actually see where he's coming, right. Where he came from.
You're creating these characters that aren't all bad. They're very complex. And you're starting to see, you know, and that's happened before. I mean, the Dark Knight, obviously.
Oh, tortured and anti-hero to start with.
Right.
All the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has been happening for a long time, but... They're just really good at it now, where they're nailing these specific roles. And season two, like, I almost don't give a fuck about Daredevil anymore. Like, I'm just like, where's Punisher?
Yeah, Punisher's great.
Bring him on.
And, you know, he's doing a bad thing for a good reason as well.
Right, he is.
Started out as a good reason.
You know, I guess it's a good reason. He's doing very, very bad things. It's crazy. And he's always been that type of character. But the way he's been portrayed in movies before kind of didn't nail it. They fucking nailed it in the Daredevil series. And there's an episode, I believe it's episode 9, where there's a prison scene that is just phenomenal.
Where he has to escape the hallway?
It's just phenomenal. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but it's just phenomenal. Like, and it's one of the best scenes I've seen out of TV in a long time.
Well, that's one of the that's one of the not criticisms, but what's the opposite of criticism? One of the pros.
Compliments?
Yeah. One of the compliments of the show is that the action scenes and the fight scenes, while they often, you know, happen in the dark or near dark, are movie quality fight scenes.
They are.
You know, with the slow camera, with the panning camera, mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of digital stuff, you know, added. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much Netflix is spending on this. But it's movie quality stuff.
Yeah, it's
and
fantastic.
They do Daredevil the way that most comic book and graphic novel movies aren't done.
Yes,
that could easily jump to the big screen.
Yeah, they do it incredibly well, and hopefully they make many, many more. But even lower budget TV series now, you got the CW,
right?
Who's rocking
Arrow,
Flash, Legends of Tomorrow,
right,
which is lesser known characters. But just great shit, man. Great. Yeah. They're a little campy, right?
So are comic books.
Right.
But yeah, so, you know, Arrow, I kind of clapped out of Arrow a little bit
in
The Flash, you know, but I want to get back in.
Flash is so good. Flash is super good.
Barry Allen. Yeah. You know, and I'm wondering how they're going to introduce these characters into the movies. Is it going to be those guys?
No.
It's not. No, and that's going to be kind of weird, but... Yeah.
I don't think
Supergirl, you know, on
right.
TV
Supergirl's
now.
Out there too, you know. Yeah.
And I haven't watched it. I've recorded all of them.
I've watched a couple of them.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows? But just the fact that these things are happening on TV is
great.
Yeah,
and they have real comic book writers now working on this stuff who understand the backstories. So they introduce these characters that I would know because I read the comics and shit.
Right.
But, like, mainstream people might not notice. You know, and you're like, ooh, that's that person. You know, and you're like,
dude,
oh,
Netflix
shit.
Is going to do Luke Cage.
I know.
Good God.
It's going to be awesome. I'll bet it's awesome, dude. So we're living in this, like, this golden age of movies and television because the technology finally caught up to the storytelling. The storytelling was so outlandish. Like, there's no way you could have made a Guardians of the Galaxy 20 years ago.
Right.
Right?
Because how do you put the raccoon in it?
You just couldn't. And Groot, too.
Right.
It would look stupid. Right? They had people dressed up in costume. They had a puppet. You know, and they were able to get away with some of that shit in Star Wars because it's such a great fucking movie.
And they
had the best people in the world working on that stuff.
One of the best things in the world is a movie that I love. When it's on TV now, I just stop and watch it. Is Wanted. Angelina Jolie.
Also based on a book.
Also based on a comic, right, or a graphic novel. And I love the fact that it's the only place on TV where you can see Professor X hit Star-Lord in the face with a keyboard and have it come out as fuck you with a tooth. Broken Tooth is the U.
That is awesome.
The thing of beauty. I love that movie. Just for that.
Just for that one.
I'll bag it up and be like, Robbie, come here.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Here comes Chris Pratt.
That is funny. And he just absolutely nailed that role. That's one of my favorite movies. I was a little bit nervous about it coming out because the comics were kind of fringe. You know, they weren't super popular.
Yeah, but the effects in that were great. Like, you know, he's standing there on the street and she comes around and throws a car door open and just runs into
perfect
him.
Perfect cast.
Slides in. It was great.
Yeah, just everything about it was amazing. Batista was amazing. Like, it just was a perfect role.
Paced well. Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think it did very well in the box office. But,
I think it did.
Yeah?
I'll look it up.
It's not one of those that, you know, when you talk about movies that were from graphic novels, it just jumps out at you like...
I think it did quite well.
The Marvels do, but
let's see.
Oh, by the way,
hold on.
They're bringing the Tick back.
Budget? Oh, that's amazing.
That's what I heard.
It should be. They should do Putty again. That was a great.
It is.
Is it going to be Putty?
I don't know if it's going to be Putty, but I think it's got to be. It's got to be Putty.
But we're talking about Putty from Seinfeld. I can't remember the guy's name, but
Ben Edlund.
So the budget for Guardians of the Galaxy was $170 million, and it did $773 million worldwide.
Yeah.
So it made $600 million. That's pretty fucking good.
But I'm sure they did, you know, creative accounting and it's lost money now. So if you had back end points, you're not getting paid.
They always do that shit. Yeah. And that makes me crazy. But it did almost as well as Daredevil did. I mean not Daredevil, Deadpool. Almost as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's a far better movie.
You know? Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
It's certainly, you know, wider audience.
It's just,
to be sure.
I think it was just perfect.
I watch it whenever I'm scrolling through and I see it out there.
I own it and I watch it routinely. Another one I watch on occasion too is V for Vendetta. It's just such a great story. And I love all the characters and obviously it's got Padme in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you want to talk about TV shows that... you know, I think we need to talk about The Walking Dead last, but we talked about Daredevil, Smallville, obviously Superman property,
yep.
Agents of
Ran
S.H.I.E.L.D.
for a long time.
With Clark Gregg in it, who's dead, not dead. I still don't understand about that.
Got Gotham now too.
Gotham, of course. iZombie,
the guy who plays the fucking penguin in Gotham.
God, he is so good. He is good. Yeah,
iZombie. I've watched a few of them.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. You know what? Marvel's Agent Carter.
Yeah.
Good first season. Second season a little iffy.
I haven't gone into the second season yet.
And I've heard they're like looking at canceling it. So I really like Haley Atwell.
I mean, the first season was good.
Yeah. We talked about Arrow and Flash, but you know, you talk about Lois and Clark, which was a cheesy. Yeah. Was
that
a CW back in the day?
That was back in the day.
Yeah, it was Terry Hatcher, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking about Gotham. Let's see what else we got here. Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Right?
Oh, that's right.
Dark Matter, Constantine. Dude,
Constantine.
It killed me when Constantine didn't make it to a second season.
I know. That was a good show.
If you haven't watched Constantine, there was a movie with Keanu Reeves, which was also really good.
It was.
Check that out. But also the TV show was Matt Ryan, was the English guy who played Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I Constantine is from the Alan Moore created Hellblazer series. Which is awesome.
Right.
Alan Moore, right, is, of course,
The
Watchmen.
Watchmen. Fuck that movie up.
Oh, God. We can talk about that, too.
Everybody's like, what? It was amazing. No, it was, but hear me out.
It was great to the end. So go ahead. We're talking about Watchmen, which was, number one, the graphic novel.
Probably the best of all time.
Well, yeah, it's number one, and Frank Miller's Batman's number two.
Probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, and what made it even better was the motion comic they came out with on iTunes.
Oh, man.
Which was
that's
just fabulous.
So fucking good. I wish they would do like a ton
all
of
them.
Those.
Yeah.
I wish they would do it. I don't know if you've got $9 to spend, but if you do, and you like the Watchmen story, do yourself a favor. Or if you've never read it, feel free to watch it this way and then go read it. They have what's called a motion comic, right? Which is sort of animated. But it also flips through the actual book, and it's
right.
fucking what they'll incredible. Do is
they'll take a panel from the book and they'll move the characters across the background will be there static just
but
like most comics
voice acting
are.
Too
right there's voice acting the voice acting is great and it's episodic so you know it's not you know start to finish but it's $9 $10
I
maybe.
Think it was $9.99 when I bought it
right
also and available just, to you Kevin
yeah cool
yeah
well I have it on my account,
I figured you so, did
yeah. And I've watched it a bunch of times.
Yeah, I wish they would do more of them.
Yeah, I don't know how lucrative that is, but I mean, how much can it cost, really? Probably licensing the original book
is
the hard part.
If they start throwing in some Spider-Man story arcs or something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that's what I grew up reading. So when I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of money to buy a whole bunch of comics. So I was basically allowed to buy two, right? So I would always get Spider-Man.
How many could you get for a dollar when you were a youngster?
One. I would say one. I think they were 99 cents, and then they were
sucks.
$1.25.
I could get five.
Yeah, well,
for a buck when I was. You know, of course, it was the '60s, early.
Yeah,
70s.
But a buck could also buy a car. Anyway, so I would always opt for Spider-Man and X-Men. Those are the two I read.
Captain America, Iron Man.
Yeah,
yeah.
Big Cap fan, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was a big time. Well, see, right around I was 10 or 11 or something like that. Todd McFarlane took over Spider-Man. And it was just this whole new fucking look, man. I actually have a Spider-Man 300 signed by McFarlane.
I have Iron Man number one.
Do you really?
Somewhere, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's all beat to shit because I looked at it a thousand times a day. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool comic to have. But what I like now, and we're going to get back to Watchmen, goddammit. But what I like now is they're taking other things and then adapting them into graphic novels now, adapting them in the comics. We saw it with the Dark Tower series with Stephen King. You're seeing...
Which, by the way, if I can split off on a tangent there real quick, sure. I think almost as much as the books, the graphic novel series is going to inform the way the movie looks.
I hope so.
Big time.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be... I don't want it to look 300-ish in its terrain, but I think it's going to be bleak like that. I really kind of want to see, not cartoony, but I kind of want the graphic novels to, like the guys did with The Matrix. That wasn't from a comic as far as I know.
There's some speculation that they stole it, but okay.
Right. But, you know, you look at some of the shots and the way they shot it was very graphic novel-y.
Dude, all I got to say is, okay, fucking Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck off. Those are the two... cast in the Dark Tower.
That's
movie.
Roland and that's Walter.
You're right. So Roland is going to be Idris Elba and Walter or the Man in Black or Flag or whoever you want to call him in the Stephen King universe is Matthew McConaughey. And holy shit.
That's be great.
That's next year, dude. Like, I have to live until 2017.
You know what? He's gonna pull up in a friggin' Lincoln.
Yeah, right, I know.
With a How's Your Pork button on his,
all
on
right,
his chest.
All right. Yeah. Oh, that's so amazing. Anyway. Let's get back to Watchmen real quick, because I do want to talk about, and hold on, how have we not talked about Game of Thrones, too, by the
way? That's not from a comic.
It's not, but it's still an iconic sort of series in pop culture that came from print. I guess there are a lot of those, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know, we start talking about To Kill a Mockingbird, if you're going to go down that road.
Yeah, we could talk about a lot of shit. Yeah, a lot of them come out of novels.
That's a different show.
I guess it is. Fair enough. Fair
okay,
point.
But The Watchmen, the movie that screwed
right,
the pooch.
So there was two. All right, first of all, beautifully shot. Love the cast. I love
the fact that Malin Ackerman did nudity in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was an R.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
a hard R
was
right
hard
there.
R, yeah.
You, when you got titties in a movie.
And a giant blue hog.
Well, yeah.
Dr. Manhattan's giant hog hanging
I
everywhere.
Was more concerned about the titties. Obviously, you'd go with the penis.
I'm just saying, it was massive. That's an impressive hog.
Well, if you're going to be a superhero, there's no short penis to superhero.
That's right. They're just fucking just knee-tapping the whole time. Clapping the old inside of the thigh. Anyway, there was two things that I didn't like about the movie. I absolutely loved the way it was shot. I loved the story. They followed it very well.
I love the way they described...
Even the opening sequence is amazing with Bob Dylan's song and you know
right.
what I mean?
I love the way they described how Manhattan went through the whole time thing and where he sees time and how he sees... The earth around
did a
him.
Really good job of that in the novel too.
They did, yeah. It was great.
It's great stuff. But
you mean the motion comic?
The motion comic. Sorry, yeah. But I think that first of all, I wanted to see Tales of the Black Freighter in it. If you don't know in the story, spoiler alert, This also came out in the '80s.
Yeah.
In the original story, there's a kid sitting at the newsstand reading a comic, basically. And the story breaks up, kind of, it stops at some point, and it goes into this kid's world where he's reading this comic book called Tales of the Black Freighter. And it's a really nice piece in the story. It's pretty cool. So there was none of that. Apparently it's on the extras, but I haven't seen it. And the second thing is, and if you haven't seen the fucking movie, I'm going to spoil it for you. It came out 3 fucking years ago.
Four years ago.
You know, sorry. But the ending of the book and the ending of the movie are different.
Not just different, markedly different. It changes the entire tone of the story.
It changes the entire meaning of the entire story.
Yeah.
And which was disappointing to me. In the movie, Ozymandias is... He creates a weapon, basically, that makes it look like Dr. Manhattan's attacking everyone.
Yeah.
In the book, he creates the same thing, right? He creates a weapon, but it spawns in a giant, like, evil squid.
Like a big alien type of
thing. A big alien-looking thing in all these cities. And it attacks. But the thing in the book was... These two countries are about to go to war and annihilate the world, basically. The United States and Russia are about to go to nuclear war.
And this was back in
the 80s, the height of the Cold War.
Right, and Nixon was president, like he had not been impeached.
Right.
And actually continued to be president. Yeah.
So the whole point of the book was an outside force attacks, an alien force attacks that unites the world. The movie doesn't work because Dr. Manhattan's not an outside force.
He's American.
He's American. So it would actually have the opposite effect in
stopping the war. It would have escalated the war.
Yeah, you would have to think that pretty much every country would hate the United States after that. Yeah. You know? And, you know, because they had this thing, they created him or whatever. There would be all these conspiracy theories. Nobody would trust
him. He was an American officer.
And not only that, he also fought.
Right.
American wars.
In Vietnam. Yeah.
So
all those guys did, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Especially Comedian.
Comedian was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Who also he became the father in the Supernatural series.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Is now in Walking Dead.
He is in Walking Dead. Interesting.
And Lucille's with him.
Ooh. But so that... while it might seem insignificant to you lay people out there, was a fundamental shift from the entire tone of the original book.
The whole meaning of
the whole point of the book was an outside force. It made sense in the book. You go, man, this fucking guy's evil, but it also makes sense. Like, right. He's trying to help mankind by doing this awful thing, but he's trying to help unite humanity. And I believe, I 100% believe that an outside force is the only thing that would unite us all.
Right.
But if that person was American, you know.
It blows it all.
It blows the whole thing to shit. So that was very disappointing to me about that movie. But all in all, I have to say it was a great film. And I love what's happening in the comic universe, in the universe of movies, of pop culture. All these things are influencing everything else. And it just continues to get better and better and better.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we were talking before about how pop culture is really touched by all these graphic novels. If you look at the number of companies that publish graphic novels now, you know, it almost doesn't make sense if you're writing a story that can be a graphic novel that you want to actually take it to novel, you know, to just print.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, Robbie got in his head, he wanted to write a book. Yeah. And he wrote like a 300-page novel.
Wow.
When he was a freshman in high school.
Holy shit.
Right. Now, you know, it needs work, but the storyline's good. And I'm like, dude, we need to hook you up with an artist.
Somebody who can draw.
Right. And we actually know one of those guys.
We do.
Right. So he was like, I kind of want to see it as a book. And nothing's happened with it, but who knows? You can, you know, it's one of those things you pull it out of the trunk years later. Mm-hmm. But there's dozens of publishing houses, Arrow Comics. You know, of course, Dark Horse is still out there.
Dark Horse is still
out
there.
Atlas Unleashed, mm-hmm. Bedside's rolling. Dude, there's literally dozens of these things.
Yeah, there's tons of them now.
You know, Clap.
By the way, McFarlane did just finish a Spawn script.
Really?
Yeah. That's another good one that I actually can't find, Kevin. It's the Spawn HBO animated series. We've talked about it on this podcast, I believe, before.
On Random?
I think we have, yeah. But anyway, if you haven't seen that out there, ladies and gentlemen, it was on HBO in the 1990s, I believe, or early 2000s. A fantastic fucking show. I think it ran for 3 seasons. I can effort that.
Right.
But it was on HBO, and man, what a fantastic series it was. And it was a super hard R as well. But yeah, it ran for 3 seasons, 97, 98, and 99, on HBO. Fantastic shit, man.
Yeah. So if you're sitting around and you have kids of, you know, my kids both got hugely into Batman Beyond, when they were,
that's a good one too. Yeah. I have some of those as well.
Yeah.
But it, for me, the animated series is the pinnacle of really any TV animation. It just was, it was an actual like show. Yeah. It, like, I can watch it now as an adult and still
appreciate
still
it.
Like it a lot.
Yeah, if you if you pay the $8 for Netflix, you're sitting on a treasure trove of DC Comics.
Oh yeah,
tons of stuff. Animated movies.
Flashpoint Paradox is on there, I think.
Yeah,
and
the Batman Flashpoint Paradox.
It's Justice League Flashpoint Paradox, yeah. But Batman's certainly in it. Oh man, I want to tell you so bad.
Don't.
It came out like last year, man, or a year before. I can't remember. But it's really, 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 yeah. It came out in 2013.
I was thinking Mask of the Phantasm. That came out 20 years ago or so.
Yeah, it was a while. Justice League War is another good one. But there's just Under the Red Hood was real fucking good. There's so many of them now. And DC with their reboot of the whole 52 Earth universe now,
right.
The new 52, just allows for so many storylines. It's so cool.
And same characters in different books. It's crazy.
Yeah, or different characters taking on the same roles as other. I mean, it's just really, really, really fucking cool shit.
Well, what it really comes down to for me is if you probably have a Barnes & Noble nearby, you certainly have Amazon. These things aren't expensive. You can get a graphic novel for $12, $13 mm-hmm. bucks, mm-hmm. and we're talking about like they did with the Dark Tower. They'd put out four to six paper comics, and then they would bind them in a volume. So you can get that volume
mm-hmm.
and go through five or six comic books, and it's a great way to get through a story. So if you've enjoyed Sin City, or if you enjoyed The Crow back in 93 with Brandon Lee, any of these things, Kick-Ass, if you like that. And certainly, a good one to start with is
what?
Watchmen.
Yeah,
you got to start with that and know that you're reading the pinnacle, and then you can spiral down from there.
Everything kind of sucks compared to it, though.
It does. It does.
It's kind of funny. But there are some good ones, man. Killing Joke's a great. That one's coming out soon in animated form, but it's been around a long time.
And we've mentioned it a few times, but V for Vendetta is
fantastic also.
Is somewhere you got to go.
The thing I really like about the animated stuff is that they can keep the same actors.
Yeah.
For decades. Kevin Conroy has been doing Batman since the animated series, and he's the voice in the Killing Joke animated that's coming out soon.
Right.
So it's just like he just keeps going on and on and on, and it doesn't matter if he ages,
because right.
his voice is the same.
Right.
Hellboy did 2 animated movies too with the cast from Hellboy.
Yeah, I love Perlman as Hellboy.
He's fucking awesome, man. Guillermo del Toro directed him.
Yeah.
Or produced him, at least.
Yeah.
But I think he directed him.
I think he directed the first one and produced the second.
I'm talking about the animateds.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. There were 2 of them, Sword and Stone.
Oh, by the way, if you've not watched. Oh, shit. Now, see, I'm drawing a blank. The vampire series that.
Buffy?
No.
That's a comic too.
It was a series of books and went to.
I don't know
Guillermo del Toro was.
The Strain.
The Strain.
The Strain.
I kept thinking The Strand, but that's
a really,
not it.
That's a really good one, too.
Yeah, that was really good.
I'm telling you, and we're branching off a little bit here, but El Orfantano, or The Orphanage, one of the best movies I've ever seen. Guillermo del Toro joint, kind of a spooky movie. But it's all in, it was shot and filmed in Spain and stuff. So you have to read it. It's in Spanish. It's kind of like Pan's Labyrinth. Right. The fantastic fucking film. That guy has a goddamn brain from God. Like this, the stuff that he does is just so fantastic.
All right, so we didn't talk about the king of TV comics.
Okay,
Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
It is. I never really saw the books.
By far, I read them.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah,
they've deviated.
It's the number one, the highest rated cable drama of all time.
Yes, it's not even close, too, right? It blew everything else away.
Right. I mean, it was, you know, Breaking Bad was massive, yep. You know, and
great.
Mad Men was massive.
Yeah, I didn't like it that much, but
yeah.
You know, first couple seasons were good, but I got tired of it.
Well, you know, the whole thing of, you know, seeing the early '60s, and but then right. You know, you see Don Draper.
You know what, man?
Was,
I just felt bad for their lungs the whole time. Like they're just smoking constantly, and I was wow.
I was amazed because everybody, as soon as you walk into a room, you head for the bar. Yeah, everybody was drunk all day long.
But they don't see this. It's so unrealistic because they're never drunk too.
Well, how do you know? Because you never see them sober.
Maybe you're right. Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. Yeah.
But you know, The Walking Dead. It's the guy who wrote the books is Kirkman, Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
Joined with a guy named Frank Darabont and adapted him for AMC. And you know what? I think they shopped it around, and most people were like, "Yeah, zombies again? Nah." But AMC went, "Yeah, sure. What the hell? We have 24 hours a day to fill."
Mm-hmm.
And it is they deviate from the books some. We'll see. How far they deviate from it, because at the end of the last season, somebody got nailed with Lucille, which is a baseball bat, wrapped in barbed wire.
Yeah.
And the people, you can't see who it was. You're seeing it from the perspective of the person getting hit. In the books,
it's
Glenn.
Really cool. Right.
Right. So, who knows who it is if they're going to deviate from that.
So apparently, we were just talking about this, apparently there is a Dark Horse motion comics, The Strain, a motion comic. So I'm going to go out and run out and get that.
That sound you just heard
yeah.
was me achieving erection.
Yeah, full on stiffy.
All 2.5 inches of it.
Yeah. So that's definitely going to be
that's a buy.
A snag, yeah.
It's out or it's in
it
process?
It came out in 2012.
Where the hell have we been?
I don't know.
Damn.
Because I've read the books as they came out. Yeah. They were so goddamn good. And then there's the TV series based off of it.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Was that any good?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
But The Walking Dead, so popular that they spawned a, if you've seen The Walking Dead at all, basically.
It's not over yet, the TV series.
No. But if you've seen the first one, basically Rick, who's the leader of the gang.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sheriff's deputy.
Who hasn't seen The Walking Dead at this point?
Dude, I know a lot of people. It's like, I've seen one and I didn't like it because it was gross.
Oh, it's crazy.
So he gets shot and he's in the hospital. And when he wakes up, the world's gone to shit.
Classic start to a zombie story.
You got a guy who gets shot.
28 days later all over again.
Yeah.
Except it's a way better fucking story.
Exactly. So, he wakes up and the world's gone to shit and his family's gone.
Yeah, now we got season two of Fear of the Walking Dead.
Right. So what we never saw was how it all went down.
How it all went down.
And now Fear of the Walking Dead.
Right.
Which isn't as good a show, but it's kind of interesting to see, I think it's an accurate portrayal of how it might go down.
You already have me at zombies.
Right.
Right. You got me. But before this, right, Dawn of the Dead, I think it was called, the one where they end up in the shopping mall,
right,
was really the best movie. I mean, discounting the groundbreaking stuff that happened in the 70s,
right,
that kind of introduced this whole genre to us, this subset of horror that is the zombie film, the current, stumbling zombie. It was really, really good. But, and there's been a billion of them since then. And some of them
World War Z.
Great book. Movie fell flat, man.
I like parts of it. I like where, he's singing the little child's thing in his head where the zombie gets bitten and then gets up as a zombie is like 12 seconds or something like that. It's like, good God, this is going to take over the world in a week.
Super fast. Yeah. But those stories have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
The thing that The Walking Dead and AMC in general just fucking nails it. They're, it's like Netflix, man. They just know how to make a compelling story. Now, listen, they had a great base because the Walking Dead books are fantastic.
They are, yeah. You know, well written.
Yeah. So it's kind of like...
good visually.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, putting The Hobbit on film or Lord of the Rings on film or fucking Game of Thrones, right? If you fuck it up, like, you did something very, very wrong.
Right.
Because
that's bad karma all the way around.
Such fantastic stories. Yeah,
if the source material is solid, you can't fuck it up.
It's not only solid, it's like something like the Lord of the Rings. It's like, you know, it's
iconic.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so far beyond anything else next that you would compare it to that, you know, it's by far the best. You know what I mean? And, but AMC has figured out how to make these shows. In a way, dude, Breaking Bad. I mean, just it's unbelievably good.
Yeah, Vince Gilligan. Great right? shit. Yeah.
It's fucking unbelievable. I don't know if you've watched Better Call Saul, but it's fucking good, man.
I haven't, but I'm looking forward to
it. It's really good. You know?
Was it Bob Odenkirk?
Yeah. Yeah. And he produces it, too. Bad motherfucker, that dude is, man. Pretty funny.
Comedy background.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're seeing this a lot on Hulu now too. Is pulling, you know, they have 11/22/63 again. Not a comic, but even Amazon's getting in on it too. Man, they have I don't know if you've seen it, but it's
Bosch.
Bosch is pretty good, but they have something called The Man in the High Castle, which is also based on a novel,
right?
Not a graphic novel, so we're branching off a little bit here. But I really really enjoyed it. I've heard people say they didn't like it. It's okay. It's sort of, if you watch this show. Fringe. It's got a little bit of that, but it's basically the Nazis won the war.
Right.
Nazis in Japan won the war and they split up the US and this is what happened. So it's a pretty cool show, and that's Amazon.
Right.
Right? It's Amazon Prime Video shooting their own stuff.
Yeah, so but we're dude, living Bezos this... has so much goddamn money. He's like, "Oh, let's produce some TV."
Why I know that's true. But we're living this age now where we don't like things like AMC are killing it, and they better. Because I don't watch anything
else. FX is too.
I shut off my TV. I shut off DirecTV. Turned it off.
Yeah.
Don't have it anymore. Killed it all.
It's almost pointless.
I don't watch it. I can get the NFL games from the computer.
Right.
I can buy an antenna for local games to watch the Eagles.
But if you're not there, yeah.
Right. If I'm not at the game, right? All I need is ESPN and NFL Network to watch those two games, right? So you have Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football, right?
Right.
I'm going to have to figure out something for Thursday night. I don't know. I mean, you might be able to watch them online. I might be able to subscribe to that, too.
You know what you could do?
What?
You could just drive your ass over here.
I can do that, too. But the other thing is there's something called Sling TV now.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen it.
Slingbox, yeah.
No. Slingbox is different. Sling TV is a streaming service.
Yeah.
It's $20 a month. And I'm not endorsing them. I haven't used it yet. But I'm going to sign up for the trial. It's on Xbox. Right? Yeah. It's on your smart TVs. It's on your Roku TVs. And you get the main channels, right? I forget what it is. Hold on. It's and you can get stuff like HBO and stuff too. So you get,
but you have to pay for that, of course.
You have to pay extra for it, right? So for $20 a month, you get ESPN, AMC, CNN, HGTV, Cartoon Network, History Channel, Disney, ESPN2, TNT, TBS. I can keep going. A&E. Like you get the channels that you would fucking watch.
History. You get History.
History Channel. Yeah.
National Geographic?
Doesn't look like it.
Hmm.
But then for like another 20, you get another set of channels like FX and Fox and some other crazy stuff. So there's a ton of stuff that you can get out there now, so you don't have to rely on your television service. And they have on-demand movies and all that other kind of crazy shit
right,
too.
Right.
Right. So I was paying $160-some a month for my cable. And I didn't even have like HBO and stuff.
Right.
Right. I just had basic stuff in like a sports package. And nobody was watching it. We just had a roof redone.
Right.
And they moved my satellite dish to put shingles down. And when they put it back, it didn't connect. And nobody noticed for a week. We didn't fucking know.
Right.
So Jess and I looked at each other and we were like, why are we paying for this? Nobody watches it.
Right. So I had a roof done last year, yeah. And when they put my dish back up, it wasn't quite right. We knew that right the fuck away.
So you're utilizing your service.
Yeah.
I didn't use it. Nobody in the house used it because my kids either watched Netflix or YouTube. That's what they watch.
Right.
So we killed it. And the thing is, I'm still watching everything. I watch what I want to watch, right? It had zero impact on my life, and I was shocked.
Right.
Because this has been a staple of really American life since the 1950s.
It's being connected to some service that shows you entertainment.
Absolutely.
Right?
But I think what we're seeing...
Now, on Sling, do you get ABC, NBC, CBS?
No, but that's why you get a digital antenna. Those are free.
Yeah.
You can get them free. People, like, and it's an HD quality signal.
Right.
You know, you just got to buy an HD antenna and put it on your fucking roof. That's it. Just like your satellite dish is. That's all you got to do.
Yep.
And you, I mean.
I know a guy in Dover just did that.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm saving $30 a month.
Well, right, so I'm saving a considerable amount.
Yeah, right.
And I do want those channels for sporting events and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Dude, I'm still a big fan of the NFL package.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. But I can buy that online. Yeah. It's not isolated to DirecTV anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I can watch that on my computer, which is usually what I watch anyway. If I'm on my TV, I'm playing Xbox most of the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think we're living in this era now that not only is it a golden age for comic book movies and like all these pop culture things iconic from my childhood, but we're seeing this shift in the way that we consume that shit. That it reminds me of what happened to the telephone. Now, you still have a landline, Kevin, but you remember back in the day, and it wasn't that fucking long ago, where you had a long-distance charge.
Sure.
Right? You had a long-distance plan and all that kind of shit. And cell phones came along and just did away with... The cell phones and the internet just completely eliminated that shit. You know, people were like, fuck you, I'm not paying for that.
Right.
And it just went away. Same thing's going to happen with TV, man. Cable service is on the way out, and you're going to see things like Roku and Sling become the norm, where you buy, if you want to HBO, you pay $15 a month for HBO Go, or whatever it is.
Right, and you it comes through your Xbox.
You get it anywhere.
Or your TV.
Or your iOS device or Android. Right. Like, but you just have it.
It amazes me that when I see on my phone it pops up, you know, it's like, oh, Netflix, $7.99. I'm like, that's all I pay for Netflix?
Dude, and I watch it all the fucking time. All the time, you know? And they keep adding shit. Dude, they got a goddamn Pee-wee movie.
I know.
That they just did. My kids are all over that. And not only that, my kids started watching because of that. They started watching Pee-wee's Playhouse, which is also on Netflix. And, dude, they're like, this is the greatest show that's ever happened.
Right.
They don't know. You know what I mean? And
they don't know that Pee-wee was jerking off at a theater.
Come on. God got the shaft.
Well.
At least he had the shaft.
Oh!
Hey.
You notice I left it for you.
Yeah, I know. But I think that, you know, it's amazing because of services like Netflix, right? They would have never watched Pee Wee's Playhouse, ever. They would have never known it existed. There's a bunch of old cartoons and stuff on there that they watch.
Well,
they
not just that.
Never would have seen any of it.
But circling back, if not for Netflix,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have Daredevil the way it is. It would be campy the way Arrow is.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, love Arrow.
Love Arrow.
Love
too.
The Flash.
Yep.
But
Flash is better, in my opinion.
It is. I think the character's better.
It's just
number one.
Fantastic. Well, yeah.
The way Jessica Jones is dark and the way Daredevil's dark and the acting and the way those characters mm-hmm. interact. Mm-hmm. It's too dark for television.
It is.
You know, it wouldn't make it because, right. you know, they're trying to, you know, will it play in Peoria? No, Daredevil probably wouldn't. But the way it's done in Jessica Jones, probably in Luke Cage as well, the way they're done on Netflix is beautiful. And you know, like you said, it's a golden age. And, you know, next year is going to be another golden age.
The thing is, they're printing money because they don't have to send out DVDs anymore.
Right.
You know, so they're printing. All they have to do is get the rights to the show and then... Everybody's watching it. Everybody has a Netflix account. Yeah, pretty much everybody I know has one.
Yeah, pretty
you know,
much.
So they're printing money, and then they're able to create these shows. And, dude, they got, it's not based on comics, but they got House of Cards.
Yeah.
You're fucking Orange is the New Black. Bloodline was really fucking good.
The Ranch show just kind of all
I don't know if you watched Narcos, but
Narcos was great.
Shit.
I love Narcos.
So fucking good, man. So they're not just killing this Marvel thing, which they are killing, but they're killing everything, you know? So I don't know. I just think it's a wonderful world. I guess that's what you could take away from this. You know, last week we were talking about how fat and disgusting we were. Today, we're happy.
Yeah, I posted a couple of things on Twitter, an article. I also saw something that if you take rats and addict rats to cocaine, and then you introduce them to sugar and give them a choice,
they go
for
the sugar
9 out of 10 times.
Doesn't shock me.
So,
by the way, I was telling Kevin before this show, Also, they have two animated series there too. BoJack Horseman, which is really funny. It's Will Arnett, and fucking F is for Family. Bill Burr. Holy shit!
Yeah, Lyle showed me a scene from that. I'm hooked.
It is like you think that The Simpsons pushed it, and then Family Guy pushed it, and then you had stuff like Archer and Squidbillies and shit, and Aqua Teen. This jumps so far over the fucking line. South Park, obviously, I can't not talk about, but this leaps like it goes so far over the what would be acceptable in polite society that it's amazing.
Which is perfect for us because
yeah.
We are not polite society.
Right.
In fact, I should have done this. Sorry.
Whatever.
You good?
I knew we were going off.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Wow. So this is why Lyle and I do this show, because we talk about this, and we could have easily had this show without you guys here.
Oh, yeah, we could have just had this conversation.
So if you want to get in on this conversation, if you want to talk about it, you can check us out on Twitter at YesRandom. You can also, we don't have a website yet. I guess we could probably at some point put a blog up.
We'll probably do something.
Yeah. But right now we're communicating via Twitter.
Just doing shows right now.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this, check us out. If you're getting this on the TFFG stream, you can look for Random on iTunes. You can also check it out on SoundCloud.
Make sure you sub, because this is the last time it's going to be on the TFFG stream.
Yeah.
We'll still talk about it, but this is the last time you're going to be able to get it from that stream.
Listenership dwindles.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'll do it anyway. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, because, you know, here's the thing.
It's fun.
We talk about stuff.
It's fun.
All right, bitches. We're out, bitches. Have a good week, and we'll be back next week with the Fantasy Football Guys, and in a couple weeks with a Random, so look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
See ya.
Perfect.